Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It is hour number two of the program, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. An absolute delight to be in for Jim. And even better news is on the horizon as a Fanilow, waiting to see Barry Manilow at least one more time in Las Vegas. Say it with me. Looks like we made it. Jim enjoying the last hours of hashtag Lake Life, back in the chair, which I will make sure is properly adjusted. Alvin, let's get the microphone where it needs to be. Nothing like me watching on a Monday when Jim comes back from vacation and dropping a damn Weber in the first 30 seconds. I need the gig.
Scrivens.
Desperately do I need the gig. Well, I have good news for you beyond that. For those of you who say, hey, loud guy, whoever you are with all the big words, you don't take enough phone calls. Well, I took one in the first hour of the show. I now have a wide open second hour because, unfortunately, Dave Revson of Big Ten Network, unavailable. We appreciate him making that clear. So instead of bringing in our second guest, no more guests until the final segment of the program. Talking NFL with Howard Balzer of Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio, which candidly is just fine for yours truly, because if you were with us yesterday, I only had two guests. I'm not the type of person who's going to line up 19 guests. A lot of that is delusion. I really think you're hanging on every word. As we prepare to start the second hour of the show, I will talk college football coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get to the NBA. Great news, albeit a little bit late. I would have liked Bill Russell to be honored while still alive, still, with all of the accolades and all of the praise being sent in the direction of the greatest winner of all time. Terrific gesture by the league that, as we saw in baseball with Jackie Robinson's number 42 being retired, number 6 will be retired in the NBA. We'll talk about another number 6, LeBron James. Why has he not signed that contract extension yet? And what do we make of Kevin Durant this week trying to shift the entire paradigm, the paradigm in Brooklyn, saying, not only do I want to be traded, but if I decide to stay, you got to whack the GM, Sean Marks, and the head coach, Steve Nash, who, I remember it this way, wasn't it Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant who decided they wanted Steve Nash as the coach? Things get more and more interesting by the day. Before we jump into more NFL conversation, and I'm hoping that you are with me every step of the way, I'm not sure what Jason Cole was trying to relate to me wrapping up the end of the last hour. Now, Jason also is a alumnus of a school in Palo Alto. I think he was implying that I would not go into a jungle, that I'm the type of guy who'd want to be on a safari with my great poopah. I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people wearing makeup, but I'm with you, folks. I'm out there, so let's go. I'm off next week. Clones, where are we going? Let's book a trip.
I'm a man.
We will tie in a sponsor, and I'm sure, now Jim doesn't know this, I probably should have cleared it with him, right? B-Web on the road. That would be frightening. Imagine if I showed up
on a Saturday.
I would not work on a Saturday, only Monday through Friday. But if I went to, say, Lincoln, Nebraska, hey, Geoff, I'm here, and just moved on in. If I flipped the script for all of these clones who have stalked Jim for all of these years, I got loads of free time, and I got stories for days. And here's the difference in person. You can't turn off your station, Mike Tyson. You can't turn down the volume. I am right here. I'll walk around with this microphone. This thing's probably not even plugged in half the time.
You got a problem, turn off your station.
And a final vestige from years gone by. And I'll throw it out there with your reaction coming up in 15 minutes. Anybody remember Mr. Microphone, in which you could turn your beatbox into a broadcast facility? I think I'm about 11 years old. I know I'm about 11 years old. And now I am making my family endure the Brian Weber Show, moving from room to room. And then magically, I wound up in my room with the door locked. That's a lot of childhood memories. We're talking more NFL. I promise no Deshaun Watson in this hour of the show. I am tracking what's on television. Ritt is alert, engaged. He is scanning the wire. Well, at least he's pretending to do so. If there's news regarding what Peter Harvey has decided, he is the Attorney General, formerly of the state of New Jersey. He is the disciplinary officer who will decide if Watson's going to have to sit for longer than the six games that was handed down by the former federal judge, Sue Robinson. I think it's going to be indefinite, translating to over a calendar year with a substantial multi-million dollar fine and counseling and behavior modification required before Watson's allowed to play again. But there is some urgency as the NFL preseason continues tonight. We had the week one matchups last night. Five more games coming up. Among them, the Browns in Jacksonville. And I hope Jag fans, if they see Deshaun Watson, give him the reception he deserves. Last night, although I watched the majority of the baseball game, Field of Dreams, until I got freaked out by Harry Carey's ghost, flipping back and forth between all of the wonderful imagery in Iowa and NFL Network, it was phenomenal to have football back. And we had it last week, but that was a long night with the rain delay in Canton, Ohio. Just nice to turn on the tube, check out, and see guys running around in pads, most of which we'll never see again because it's a meaningless exhibition. But I do think what happened after the game between the Giants and the Patriots was interesting because, remember, there was a consensus building that Bill Belichick had mellowed out, that in the twilight of his coaching years, although at the age of 70, and we ran through it yesterday in granular detail, if the sole goal is to move past Don Shula and have the record for the most regular season wins, Belichick, while he is the Lord of the Rings in the NFL with the six Super Bowl championships, needs about 40 more wins. So 10 wins a year times 4 years, he's got to keep on winning. And we also mentioned the nugget that stands out overall with Tom Brady getting an additional Super Bowl ring. Belichick, without Brady, has gone 17-17 the last 2 years in New England. But there was a growing idea that Bill had mellowed. He was heaping praise upon Mac Jones. Remember that, saying all these nice things about a young player? Well, the hoodie was back last night. As reporters, and this is mostly the Boston media, which is aggressive, which I applaud, I'm a recovering East Coast sports fan, they're the ones who've been telling all of us that Mac Jones's offensive unit has had real struggles, and I'm not just pinning it on Mac, but Mac is limited, and we saw him slide over the final third of his rookie year, and he was part of a Patriot team that got annihilated by the Bills in that playoff game. But all these reports have been circulating that the offense has been horrible, that they can't even execute basic things like the snap from center or a handoff. To me, that speaks a lot more about a decision made by Bill Belichick than the limitations of Mac, who didn't play last night, because Belichick refused to be like every other head coach in the NFL and go out and hire an established offensive coordinator or promote somebody within the organization who had learned from Josh McDaniels prior to his departure to Las Vegas. Well, Belichick, because he needs seemingly to remind all of us he's the smartest man in the history of football, said, I'm not naming an offensive coordinator, and I'm going with a group leadership approach. So you have Joe Judge, best known, if he's known at all, for his background in special teams before he was a disaster as the head coach of the Giants, and Matt Patricia, who was known for his defensive skills and a hideous beard, as well as being a complete failure in Detroit. So you put Belichick's brain trust together, Judge and Patricia call plays alternating series. They combined as the play caller and asked several times after the game, are you going to stick with this method? Are you going to pick one play caller? Belichick kept going back to, we're going through the process. Is he stealing from San Henke? Are we supposed to now trust the process in New England? What happened to the Patriot way?
Trust the process?
No days off. Pick a slogan and stay in your lane. Now it's about the P word. We're going through the process. And then when a reporter followed up, Bill gave him the brush off. Don't worry about that. At least he didn't say sweetie like Pete Rose, that cretin, on Sunday in Philadelphia. And I don't know if it's a female reporter. So Belichick is aware of the growing perception that he has made a major error here by not finding a established play caller and turning over the responsibilities to Judge and Patricia. We'll see if he's proven right. I have my profound doubts. Did you watch the Patriots last year? Did that offense seem like it was humming when you had Josh McDaniels? And now you have two guys with no experience and very little to demonstrate that somehow they learned from a horrible run in both the New York tri-state area and Michigan as head coaches. But remember, Bill knows best. Or his kids do. Because now he has two of his sons on the staff. And I'm not saying Bill Belichick is on the hot seat to start the season. That would be absurd. I realize who we're talking about here. But it's well documented. Read any one of the pile of Patriot books. Seth Wickersham has a terrific insider's view of the Patriot organization. The relationship between owner Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick has been prickly over the years, and it was Kraft who volunteered to reporters at the NFL owners' meetings in the spring. I'm not thrilled, I'm paraphrasing here. We haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. I don't see the Patriots as a playoff team this year. If Cleveland lands on Jimmy Garoppolo, as Jason Cole, the NFL insider, who joined us to wrap up the last hour of the program, pointed out, and I intimated it, but I should have been more precise. Garoppolo to the Browns makes even more sense because Stefanski's offense is derivative of the Shanahan offensive philosophy. I'd put Cleveland with Jimmy Garoppolo, not Jacoby Brissett, in front of the Patriots. So we'll find out. Is the hoodie playing 19-dimensional chess? Doesn't look like it. And I have no idea why he's riding with Judge and Patricia, other than to prove to all of us the hoodie knows best.
This ain't some clown
so
show.
So let's compare and contrast that rotten tree with these failed limbs, this is wonderful imagery, of the Belichick coaching tree, to Sean McVay and his crew. And McVay is living his best life, volunteered to an ESPN reporter, and then confirmed it in a press conference this week. He's already gotten a new deal from the Rams. You want to hazard a guess that's going to pay him maybe $15 million because he flirted with TV, because he is the reigning Super Bowl champion, and because McVay has now had an influence. And if we're talking McVay, we have to link him to Shanahan as well. But it's McVay who lifted the Lombardi at home in February to wrap up the regular season. There are 32 teams in the NFL. Sean McVay and four assistants are patrolling the sidelines. That's a pretty big ratio. And the majority of them have had success beyond McVay. Winning the Super Bowl, going to a pair of Roman numeral games this early in his career. I looked it up just to confirm I wasn't slamming Belichick's tree and embracing McVay because I want to be hip like him and use more product in my hair. McVay's disciples last year, 32-14, two of them made the playoffs, and it was an all Sean McVay Super Bowl with Zach Taylor, part of an effort in Cincinnati, primarily due to Joe Burrow, that went from worst to first, won the division, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Matt LaFleur has made it to a couple NFC title games. Brandon Staley is out of his mind with that blind belief in analytics. Yeah, it is 4th and 14. At my own 28, I'm going to go for it. And if you think I'm just now stretching the truth here, just go back to the last game of the regular season when Staley cost his team a trip to the playoffs by coaching recklessly, and he was out of his mind. Still, Chargers in the playoff hunt, and we'll see what Kevin O'Connell can do coaching up Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. So last week when I was going through the birthday celebration for Tom Brady, I pointed out what is, I think, self-evident. Brady is quite literally the face of the NFL, looking younger and younger, stepping away from the Buccaneers for a week for what he told reporters was, quote, a personal thing. But if Brady is the symbol of the league, if we're just talking impact and meaning and shifting the entire landscape of the NFL, is there anybody more impactful right now than Sean McVay? Sean McVay made a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. He won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. And I love all the Detroit truthers now telling me, no, Stafford was good. Folks, I watch football for a living. For 5 years, I did a Red Zone radio show, trapped in a studio, 7 hours, no commercials, developing kidney stones. More information than you needed to know. My point is, I've watched a lot of football, and I've seen a lot of terrible play from Matthew Stafford, and I recall he had Megatron on his way to the Hall of Fame. So it wasn't just that Stafford got liberated from Detroit. It's that he got partnered with Sean McVay. And oh, by the way, Stafford threw 17 interceptions last year, the most in 9 seasons. So I realize we're falling in love with Dan Campbell in Detroit. And it would be the best story in sports history, be like the Cubs finally winning the World Series, if the Lions even made it to a Super Bowl. I'm not bashing Detroit while it's down. I think Detroit is back, right? We're not filming Beverly Hills Cop 4. Axel Foley doesn't have to fight his way out of Motown trying to solve another caper. But I just loved the totally different perception when Stafford came to Los Angeles. No, no, no. It wasn't a Stafford problem. Who can win in Detroit? The answer is go play for Sean McVay and you'll win, whether you're Jared Goff or Matthew Stafford. So moving forward, as I get older, and probably just in terms of optics, more on the Belichick side, the McVay, I'm now just selling out. I'm going with young. I'm going with hip. And forget about seeing you clones next week. I'm just going to hang out here in Southern California and hope somebody thinks I have some affiliation with the Rams. Maybe they'll buy me a cocktail as I wrap it up. So I did have a nice lunch yesterday, and I was not paying attention. I'll put this on the poll. I'm stealing Flebitard now. I'll throw it out there on Twitter. I had a glass of Chardonnay at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. We'll crowdsource it. One glass of Chardonnay. What's the under-over, audience? What do you think that ran, Uncle Brian? Ritz awake for that. Not a bottle. I had one glass. The answer coming up. Forward promotion. All right, no Dave Revson. As I said, that is okay. Candidly, I was going to have to tread lightly with Dave because he works for the conference. Big Ten Network is owned by the conference and Fox. And I didn't want to put him in a precarious on a big word situation Friday because what's he going to say about the future? Yeah, hey, I was in the meeting. Notre Dame is joining the Big Ten. So I'm going to cover the future of college football straight ahead, talking LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and the wonderful decision made by the NBA to retire number 6, honoring the greatest champion of them all, Bill Russell. NBA in 40 minutes, college football straight ahead. Your phone calls, some tweets available. Tell me how much I paid for a glass of wine yesterday. That's BW Weber. Weber with two P's. Don't finish that thought. As mentioned, college football on the agenda. The season starts 2 weeks from tomorrow. So with all this talk now about a 16-team playoff coming up in the next few years and all the consolidation, will this be the last regular season that still has meaning? I'm Brian Weber. No need for a breathalyzer here. No enhancement. No vino on a White Wine Friday for Jim Rome. Having a great time with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. We'll be right back.
I am Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, having an absolute blast on a Friday because, like you, I am thrilled the Hall of Famer is coming back into this very studio on Monday. Still, we have a lot more to get to in our remaining 90 minutes. Already taken a phone call. We could have more on the way. 1-800-636-8686. ATP Friday, looking for your emails. RomanHaveATake.com. More of your tweets coming up. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We'll tackle college football here in 15 minutes. A little bit of NBA talk. Bill Russell being honored. Another player wearing number 6 for now. LeBron James has not signed his contract extension. And wasn't Kevin Durant supposed to have been dealt by now? It's all coming up. Final hour, all NFL. Just one more guest along the way. Coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes. Take across the National Football League with Howard Balzer of Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio. Tweets. Aspen Spin. Dan Campbell seems like an authentic guy. Detroit loves that. Kind of like a 6'5 Wayne Fonts. That is a good poll. Wayne Fonts would win a game at the end of December every year and save his job. But the Lions were competitive then. As I jump into the hot tub time machine again, take you back to the early 90s. Good friend of Eric Kramer, a former broadcast partner. I will not reveal nor betray any of the confidence that Eric instilled in me. But Eric told me some phenomenal stories about Wayne Fonts. Put it this way, Wayne had a very good time. And it was a different era. No cell phones. Brian, finally, a Canadian caller with some snack talk, as we had Billy from Toronto in the last hour of the program. Much better than those other duds who used to call the show. Nate the Great from the Cape. Is he calling out Tyler in Edmonton? Matt in Vancouver? Look, I'll have Canadian on Canadian crime. I don't think that's a thing, right? Canada's so nice and civil and polite, they don't even have locks on their doors. Margo from Buffalo. Hello, as suspected, TB12 comes up with some shenanigans, great word, shenanigans to grab the attention again around himself, have everyone guessing once again, when will it stop, B-Web? We are so over it in Buffalo. Go Bills. Margo, I don't know what's going on with Tom Brady. I don't think this is a look at me situation. I'm with you with the Bills. If you care about my opinion, I have the Bills going to the Super Bowl. Finally, Quiet Californian. I crowdsourced it, one glass of Chardonnay. Now, I went to Beverly Hills, so I probably paid a surcharge to look at all the facelifts. No work, as far as you know, in this chair. $32, says Quiet Californian, plus tip. Sounds about right. For Beverly Hills. You are high.
Straight cash, homie, for
Now, if we're doing prices right, he's out, right? You got to come under. Does Alvin, you want to go $1, and then Rip will come in at $31.99? $23 for a glass of wine. $2.3. Now, I am not that cheap, with the keyword that. I like my straight cash, homie, and I work damn hard to make a few bucks these days in a challenging industry. But I don't have kids. I'm not married, so I can be a little bit more free spending. Still, my issue is I go to a place frequently when I go out. I have a good relationship with the staff. So I'm from the East Coast, where if you tip huge, what do you know? If I leave that glass there, it might get poured. So in my mind, I only order two glasses of wine. Who's counting? Of course, you jump in an Uber. So when I was actually charged the real cost, the indignant look on my face must have said something. Good news, I was still wearing the makeup. Because here in Southern California, if you're not fully made up, you don't fit into the crowd. Let's talk college football briefly. And I don't want to go back on the soapbox because I do watch the show when I go home. Not as a narcissist, just to critique the performance. Phenomenal job, as always, by our terrific crew in New York City. The simulcast is outstanding content. As always, take us wherever you go. Streaming on Odyssey and listen to the Daily Jungle podcast. I have a tendency because I love college football so much, to sound more over the top than I'm intending. And change is hard. And just as if I'm going to be self-aware, I'm kind of cheap. I'll tip big always. But when I think it should be $14 for that glass of wine, don't tell me $23. It's odd that knowing sports is always evolving, like the rest of you, I don't like change. And the reason I loved college football so much, especially early in my career, and that's how I got into the industry, I talked my way into a gig at my alma mater. It helped that I was willing to work for the bare minimum. Plus, people want to help an eager young guy who seems interested in things. So I was around college football on a daily basis for 9 years. I traveled with a national program. As I got older, I hosted college football shows. I'll bring in the tapes of the Tyrone Willingham show. My guy Ty, Stoic Ty, and me. Hey, coach, what do you think? It was a great game. So I don't want to just be a prisoner of 1998 or 2008. But I do think what we have lost in the playoff era, and I'll just pause here. I'm not even looking ahead because we know what's coming with the consolidation already enveloping college football Saturdays. When we get to 20-team conferences, 24 teams, you pick the absurd number. Are you telling me that's going to be a better product? I don't think so. Now, maybe I am allowing my displeasure as to what's happening. Full disclosure, I work for Pac-12 Networks, alumnus of two schools. One of my alma maters going to the Big Ten. I'm not thrilled with that because I believe in tradition and I believe in heritage. And that's what I love about college football, the rivalries. I love the notion that NC State can take Clemson to the final seconds. Clemson's going to win the game, but the unexpected things because of the sheer tonnage on a college football Saturday is a better product than the NFL. I'll say it out loud. And whoever figures out how to do a real red zone of college football is going to have a money-making endeavor. And maybe it's a streaming platform because you're going to have to buy off ESPN, Fox, everybody else for the rights. But if you give me a whip around show, excuse me while I whip this out, starting at 12 Eastern, you need a couple crews, and going all the way for 12 hours, that would be incredible. So I love everything about college football. Things as trite as the band, or the campus experience, or tailgating, or showing up and seeing people you avoided when you went to school and pretending like you enjoy their company. It's a social experience. That said, my issue with the current climate of big-time college football is we're talking about the same teams every year. I have no life. When I was looking up those stats that I was reading about Bill Belichick this morning, I went year by year, national champions in the 90s, 2000s and the 10s, there was a lot more turnover before mighty Alabama established itself in 2009. And what's happened in the present, and what's going to become even more pronounced moving forward, the massive disparity in cash, while the SEC teams chop it up and the Big Ten divide it, Alabama has a license to print money. That's why their facilities are incredible, in many ways surpassing NFL training centers. And that disparity is almost impossible for teams a step down to overcome. And it's not only the arms race when we're talking about buildings, recruiting. You can have as much of an advantage with your unlimited resources to get out there and have all of the interaction that for now, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, is still sanctioned by the NCAA. But if Alabama wants a player, somebody's getting on a plane to talk to that young person without any thought about, well, how much money do we have for the plane ticket? And are you staying at a Motel 6? Alabama has unlimited resources, as does Ohio State, as does Georgia, as does Clemson, as does Notre Dame. So to me, that's been the negative byproduct of where we stand. And I can sit here and wish for a different time, and keep dropping dopey references about sitcoms in the 1980s, I'm going to be wrong here. It's all going to be even more wrapped up in a handful of power brokers. The SEC, the Big Ten, maybe the ACC survives, could be a partnership brokered by ESPN with the Pac-12 because they need the content, because according to reports, ESPN will no longer be a partner of the Big Ten. And that's just also telling us that that 16-team playoff that a lot of you have been clamoring for years, and I always thought was a terrible idea because I want the regular season to mean something, but I'm not naive. Just follow the dough. There's another mountain of money to be made expanding the playoff. Fox and ESPN, to a lesser degree, CBS, although we have great college football content here on CBS Sports Network, all of the power brokers want in on an expanded playoff. Why? Because it'll generate a monster TV rating. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. You could be a part of the show, 1-800-636-8686. Final hour dominated by the NFL. Straight ahead, a little bit of NBA. Mostly, I want to honor what the league did yesterday with their tribute to Bill Russell, and then we'll link it to what's going on right now. Why is LeBron James not signed his contract extension with the Lakers? And am I misremembering something? Wasn't Kevin Durant supposed to be traded by now? That's coming up. First, let's get you a sports update. Marco Belletti has the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Flexing our verbal muscle deeper into the second hour of the program, but there's still plenty of time for you to get involved. 1-800-636-8686. ATP Friday, so send more emails at rome@haveatake.com. More of your tweets will be read in the final hour of the program. Up next, talking a little bit of NBA coming off that wonderful announcement by the league yesterday honoring the greatest champion of them all. Bill Russell will be forever linked with number 6. And once the current allotment of players retire, currently wearing number 6, no one else is going to wear it in the NBA in the coming years. We'll talk LeBron and Kevin Durant as well. With football dominating the last hour of the show, just one more guest. 16 minutes from now, take you across the NFL landscape with Howard Balzer of Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio. I am aware that Antonio Brown has been active on social media. I'm not giving you a take because I'm only focusing on players who are actually in the NFL. So, while Antonio Brown may compare himself to Jesus,
thank you, Jesus!
And the Beatles, but by extension, didn't John Lennon tell us that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus? So I think if we're coming up with that Mount Rushmore, Antonio Brown is saying he's at the top of the list. Antonio Brown should just go away. Obvious, desperate cry for help. And at this point, after he took off his shirt in the swamps of New Jersey, never say never. Antonio Brown's never playing again in the NFL, and you just wonder what the coming years bring for a guy who seems to be dealing with a variety of issues. I'll be kind. We are looking for your huge email. Reminder, rome@haveatake.com is the inbox. It's brought to you by our friends at Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. If I'm talking NFL in August, it has to be important, and arguably no one was more important in the early history of the NBA than Bill Russell. And we lost him recently, and it was wonderful that Bill Russell was celebrated while he was still alive. If we think about champions, going back to what he achieved on the hilltop in San Francisco with that dynasty that USF, and then the 11 rings, one in Boston, a player coach. We're never going to see that again. And as importantly, everything he meant to social justice. So I applaud the league for emulating what we first saw in baseball when they retired the number 42 for Jackie Robinson moving forward after the current allotment of players who are wearing number 6 retire. No one else is going to wear number 6. That's forever going to belong to Bill Russell. Among the players who wear number 6 now is LeBron James. And I thought it was interesting that this story kind of went underreported, and I know it's not necessarily that urgent right now, but typically when an established star has the opportunity to get another easy payday just by hitting the DocuSign, maybe actually getting out a pen if it's that important and putting LBJ on a piece of paper. I don't know why I had to act that out on TV, but I'm now doing performance art. I'll be joining Mum and Chance at the end of the program. Mime is muddy. LeBron James has been eligible for about a week now to sign his contract extension with the Lakers. Now, I have nothing but respect for LeBron as a businessman. What's the line as I try to be hip? I'm not a businessman. I'm a business, pause, man. LeBron James is a billionaire because he is shrewd and because he understands how to monetize everything. And at this point, most of what he does, I think, is by design. So perhaps by letting this offer sit there, and he's not going anywhere, but by not signing immediately, there is the notion that he remains in the news cycle. What do you know, as time has gone by? This report came out of nowhere that if LeBron were to leave Los Angeles, which he's not going to do, but if he does, remember, no one thought he was going back to Cleveland. LeBron knows how to create buzz and maneuver through a career better than anybody else along with the rings. But there is this report that the Lakers would deal Anthony Davis if LeBron is not staying long-term here in Southern California. I think that is rumor and innuendo. For LeBron, he's got an option. He got a decision to make. Is he re-upping for 2 years or what they call a 1+1? 1 year commitment and then the player option. The reason he would do the 1+1 is he has that ability then in 2024 to be a free agent. And what do you know? That's the year his son Bronny is eligible to play in the NBA. So back to the notion that LeBron is incredibly astute. We know what the motivation here is. He can hold the Lakers hostage or some other team. Draft my kid, you get me as well. This is Belichickian because LeBron can't hire his son flat out. Instead, he'll do the same thing. If you really want me, there's got to be room for Bronny as well. So somehow, here we are in August, consumed by the NFL, college football in 2 weeks, and LeBron has entered the chat, as has Kevin Durant. So the way it works typically for Jim, you know by now, because he enjoys lake life in Wisconsin, he takes the break, he comes back, he takes another break. So I've been in and out of this reinforced chair for the better part now of 6 weeks going back to July 4th. What were we talking about then? Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. Where are we now? Getting closer to midway through August. What's changed? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because it's almost impossible to move Durant, especially now with the precedent of the Rudy Gobert trade, because Danny Ainge fleeced Minnesota. If Ainge got that for Rudy Gobert, rationally, what should Brooklyn expect in return for one of the top three players in the league? And now you have speculation that Durant would be interested in going to Philadelphia because clearly he likes James Harden much better. He enjoys hanging out with Kyrie Irving. That's his motivation to get out of Brooklyn. And if we're just playing fantasy basketball, Kevin Durant plus Joel Embiid when healthy, and apparently James Harden has found out there's a place called the gym There's a club. We know he's going to the club. But there's also a 24-hour fitness. If you get on the treadmill, what do you know? The pounds dissipate. For me, it was just the colonoscopy. That's all I needed. I didn't have to go through the James Harden workout. I don't think he's going to Philadelphia. I don't think he's going anywhere. But the beauty of the NBA is we go through all of these scenarios, and it's all about who's going where, when, much more than what happens on the court. So if you force me to come up with a Kevin Durant trade, Boston makes the most sense, and you could just go through the obvious assets, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams, Derek White, and they have picks as well. They don't have to give up Jason Tatum. They don't have to move the reigning defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. But after all of the conversation and the speculation and the breaking news, Kevin Durant wants to go to Miami, but Miami's got nothing to send in return because they can't move Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero is not going to be sufficient. I don't think anything changes. Durant can have these meetings with ownership and Joe Tsai and say, it's me or Sean Marks and Steve Nash. And then Tsai goes to Twitter and says, I have confidence in my front office. And maybe, just maybe, this will be the first time in a long time we see an NBA owner say, I'm not moving you. I don't think it comes to that because it rarely happens in the NBA. Could Durant actually hold out? All we hear is that he loves hoops. But this situation gets more interesting by the week.
Is that a real question?
Just a little bit of basketball. Don't worry. Final hour of the program, all football, starting with the latest on Deshaun Watson. Could Jimmy Garoppolo be headed to Cleveland? That's all coming up. My last hour with you this summer. Oh, we'll get emotional. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.